Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We're looking at the book of Acts. In this session, we'll consider Acts chapter 23 and verse 34 through Acts chapter 24 and verse 27. Paul on trial before Felix. Let's look at those verses, beginning with chapter 23 and verse 34. And when the governor had read it, he asked what province he was from. And when he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear you when your accusers have come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's praetorium. This was like an arraignment to establish the venue. Felix, for the trial, Felix made sure it would be in his jurisdiction. So the trial date was set for whenever Paul's accusers were to arrive. And beginning in chapter 24, those first 23 verses, we see are the record of Paul's trial. There was tension in play that made trouble for the apostle. The Romans didn't see Paul as a lawbreaker, but didn't want to release him because of the Jews. An appeal is needed to move him to Rome and away from the opposition. So, three figures are prominent in this particular narrative: Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. God used the power of politics to accomplish his will. Paul's innocence and Roman protection, the way God used politics. The future witness in the West, as Paul goes to Rome, is the main thing. It's to take him from where he's been ministering in the Middle East area to the West by going to Rome. First, the prosecutor opened with flattery and the charges. Verses 1 through 9. Now after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being sought to this, is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear, by your courtesy, a few words from us. For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so. So, what were the charges? Well, insurrection, playing to Rome, Pax Romana, disturbing the Pax Romana. Second, Christian troublemaker, a sect ringleader, implying that believers are dangerous. And then third, anti-Judaism, violating the temple, their worship place. The third charge was probably a ploy to get the Romans to turn Paul back over to the Sanhedrin and then they could execute him. The verses 7 through 9 were an accusation against the commander and ultimately Rome. Look, we wouldn't be here if your guy didn't get involved. We were fully ready to try him ourselves. Still, we believe you'll see it our way. So, second, the defense was pretty straightforward and to the point. Charge one, insurrection. No way. Paul had no history of doing so. He didn't stir up any crowd, and no proof could be produced. Look at verses 10 to 13. And then Paul, after the governor had nodded him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully examine for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me." The second charge, ringleader of a troublemaking sect, Christians. Paul responded with kind of a mini sermon in verse 14. "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, and there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." And regarding charge three, violation of the temple. Huh? Then the apostle goes on the offense in his closing argument. Verse 17. "Now after many years I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with the mob nor with the tumult. They ought not to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me." And look at verse 9 again. "And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so." Paul tied the accusing Jews to a matter of faith, not the law. The preaching of the resurrection was at issue. Verses 20 and 21. "Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, unless it is for the one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day." And then third, the governor's judgment was non-existent. Look at verses 22 to 27. Felix was a wimp. "But when Felix," verse 22, "heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, 'When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case.' So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him." Why? Maybe conviction. Maybe greed. Maybe fear. Verse 24. "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you.' Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix. And Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound." We'll consider that the next time. You have a great day.